Hello, thank you very much for joining us today. My name is Jim Woods. I'm president of Woods Covalova Group. And we help companies just like yourself to find ways to engage underrepresented people, to build diversity, inclusion, and equity programs that actually excite all members of your organization so they can fulfill and reach their potential. And it's a little bit different for each person. We wanted to discuss this a bit. What the question is, are your diversity efforts engaging underrepresented groups in your organization? And it's a great question to ask because I happened to speak with some people recently and they were confident. In fact, they were very amenable people and they were very conscientious. They're very concerned about their organization. But one of the things they experienced was that most people in their industry were quite satisfied with the results of their DE&I programs. But if you take that and ask it, according to research, and ask their marginalized, underrepresented, or people of color, the results are considerably different. So whenever you ask a group of the majority, if you will, the results are going to be skewed. It's going to be different for those who actually undergo a lot of the misunderstandings or the unintentional bias or prejudices in an organization. It doesn't mean that everyone has an intent to harm or to speak ill will. Some people just don't understand. Occasionally, there are some explicit biases in organizations. But by and large, most people just don't understand. I mean, we all can make an occasional slip of the tongue. So we want to talk about a couple of the things that that's been going on since 2020. And I shouldn't say it quite that way because the prejudices, biases sound different once you say prejudices, don't they? They've been going on for centuries, since the beginning of time. We've always found something. If there wasn't the color of the skin, we'd find something with the gender, the car you drive, or something else to disparage people globally. So as we look back several months ago, since the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, many tech firms, many organizations in entirety, have since published statements in response to anti-Black violence, and many leaders have offered pledges to engage in anti-racist behaviors and list of related actions. But despite company pledges to change the workforce, 42% of Black women report feeling uncomfortable sharing their thoughts on racial inequity, and 22% feel they can't talk about the impact current events have on them or people in their communities. Organizations have been asked to stop expecting their Black employees to solve the problem or educate their colleagues, and backlash against organizations' anti-racism efforts is causing some to retreat. So what do we do next? Well, at our organization, well, we've done some research on this. We've worked with hundreds of managers across the country seeking to value diversity and inclusion in their organizations. And we found that many organizations are actually prioritizing hiring diverse talent to increase representation of Black employees. But simply hiring new talent won't create a culture where Black women and other people of color actually feel included. As the recent high-profile case, for example, of Timnit Jumbo demonstrates, even when highly respected experts are hired to speak up, leaders are more likely to point fingers at them than make changes. So seeking a quick fix for racial equity in this way is not only ineffective, it comes with an uncalculated cost. Company leaders who are serious about making good on their pledges of anti-racism should instead shift the target of change. Stop looking for an individual to solve your racial equity challenges and instead create conditions for your employees to thrive. So many organizations that have made their first step toward racial equity to find diverse talent don't realize the problematic framing of this approach. It's partly a problem of linguistics. The term diverse is often misused as a shorthand for underrepresented populations, but lumping a wide range of people into the category of diverse erases the racial, gender, and disability characteristics leaders want to value. One leader described diverse as any non-male or male person of color, a veteran, gender non-conforming person, or person with disclosed disability. Now, this definition separated the company into two, just two groups: white, heterosexual, non-veteran, able men, and everybody else. And when we pointed this out to this particular leader, he was confounded. The term diverse ended up reinforcing an us versus them paradigm, in which white men were treated as us, or the in-group, and everyone else in the out-group, the other diverse. The usage resulted in othering, if you will, the very people he sought to include, us versus them. Furthermore, diverse should be used to define the composition of a group. A group can be diverse, but an individual cannot be. When a group is diverse, leaders can value how every person contributes to the group diversity, as opposed to adding one person who seems unlike the rest and calling themselves diverse. When leaders see their team as a diverse group or portfolio, they're more likely to see and value the additive contribution of individuals instead of essentializing differences. So last and possibly most problematic, using the term diverse can obscure talent instead of bringing it to the forefront. Just to illustrate, the problem follows candidates into the workplace. A diverse candidate becomes a diversity hire. We get excited about this, and fellow employees are more likely to see the new employee's difference and less likely to see their actual talents. The question is posed then, how does it feel to know you were a diversity hire? Well, overlooks the multitude of qualification this person brings to the workplace. And by focusing on her race and gender, the organization is blinding others from seeing all that this person could contribute. Well, I look forward to talking to you and having your feedback on this organization. If you'd like to be a guest in our program, please let me know. If you have any comments, please leave them. Your ideas are important to us. We want to know your feedback and how you feel about this important conversation. Again, my name is Jim Woods. We provide diversity, inclusion, equity training to a host of countries across the world in over 39 countries. We hope to hear from you. You can follow us on Woods Kovalova Group or find us on LinkedIn and leave your messages. Be happy to work with you. If you'd like to have us bring this training to your organization, reach out to us at +1-720-923-1644. Please make it a great day. Take care of yourself and be especially safe out there.